Okay, can we start now? 1 minute earlier doesn't matter, yeah. I will talk about CLO energy buildings. Your teacher, Fred, he talking about sustainable buildings, and when we talk about sustainability, it also include social, economics, and environment. But as we know, buildings is not like mobile phone in my hand. This can be transport all over the world. But when buildings is built, it can just stand here, cannot be travel. So when we evaluate buildings on sustainability, when we talk about society and economics, it's really difficult to compare between different society. For example, different culture, we cannot compare the house directly from Norway and to India or some other countries in the social and economic side. Because 2 million is not expensive, but 2 million maybe is expensive to India person. So it's really difficult. But one thing, it can be easier to compare and to be evaluated. That will be environment part. And environment part of the buildings always relate to the energies, materials, and CO2 emissions, and some waste. And today I will talk about energies. Because energy, why we talk about energy? When you talk people, okay, I will build sustainable building for you. And maybe he's no idea about what this sustainable means to him or her. But we told him, you can save energy if you build such kind of building. You can pay, before you pay 10,000 per year for fitting, and now you just pay 5,000. Our land say, yes, this it will be good for me. So that's why people, especially from our engineering and building technology side, when we start sustainable buildings, we start from energy side. And I talk about CLO energy. And yesterday, a professor from Energy, Alan Mayafu, he came to my office and I prepared the presentation today and he asked me, what is CLO energy buildings? So today I will talk about three questions here. First, what is CLO energy buildings? Second, why we want to build CLO energy buildings? And then I will show some case. What is CLO energy buildings? As we know, when you sit here, we use lighting, we use ventilation, and also heating. And this always consume energy. And when we say CLO energy buildings, is building itself can possible to generate electricity and energy. And this generate by the building itself can be equal to the energy used for the buildings. We call this as CLO energy buildings. Maybe this is very complicated for me, but for you, but then we can see from here. This is buildings. Yes. And when it is possible, we have some PV panel with solar on the roof, on the wall, it can be produced some renewable energy. So this is first selection. We can use the building itself to produce energies. And another type is this one. And for example, it's used for wind power. Because wind power is not that turbine, it's not building itself, but it's on the side of buildings. So this we use the turbine can produce wind power, and this can be connected to the electric system of the buildings, and this can be used and consumed by the buildings. And another selection is we do not have wind power, or for example, some place we do not have enough wind power and not solar power. What we can do, we can transport some resources, for example, biomass, to produce this energy for these buildings. This we call on-site generation from off-site renewable resources. And then we still have some offshore generation. This is produced, for example, it's produced offshoot, but it can be, it's locally connected. And we still have offsite supply, so it will be produced 100 kilometers or 1,000 kilometers away, but it's renewable one, can be connected. But to engineers and to building technology, we prefer that electricity can be produced on site or footprint. So we say first type we can have a footprint, it's that the building itself, we have panel PV on roof, on the wall, can be produced. And the second, we can, for example, some panel PV outside the buildings and the wind power outside building. This is what we prefer to, because this, I use this picture to show that what is available energy we can use for buildings. And for us, for our future buildings, we prefer this tool to make that building can produce energy, can be balanced as it used, I mean, as 1 year basis. Then we find we have several options that we can deliver that zero energy buildings to the society. Of course, first, when we called low energy buildings, I don't know if they will have such idea about this. Low energy buildings and passive build house. And this is we reduce the on-site energy consumes through the low energy building technology. That is means we improve the energy efficiency of the building itself. So we have two sides because we use and we try to find something to decrease what we use. And then we find some materials that can produce electricity. So the first, we can, for example, we can design to use the maximum use daylight and high efficiency heating, ventilation, air condition equipment, and some natural ventilation like this. This is the first step. When we say low energy buildings or passive house, this is the first step. And next step, we would like to energy itself to produce energy. No, building itself to produce energy. And then we have on-site, as I said, sure, we use renewable energy available within building's footprint. What we can use, and then people ask, what we can use? PV or solar hot water. I don't know, because I didn't see any solar hot water in Norway, maybe because winter is so cold, it's so dark. But I know in the south of, in the main part of China, especially the east, they have a lot of, they use solar hot water system. And then wind local in the building. I can show you later how we use wind to produce. And then we can use a second selection is use renewable energy available on site. It's also PV, but it's not on buildings. So it's mean what's the difference between one and two is one is this is integrated with building itself, two is off buildings. It's in the same place, but it's maybe just here is building, this is wind power generation. And then we have off-site supply options. It's use renewable energy energy sources available off-site to generate energy on-site. This biomass, wood pellets, and some biodiesel. And this is that we transport from some other place, but we generate electricity on the in the building site. So. And we have purchased off-site renewable energy sources. That is means you purchase from the grid. But this is the grid is not from the fossil fuel production. I know in Norway because it's much better than other country because in this summer they have a summer school about renewable energy. And then Norway said we would know it will be sold as green battery to Europe. why we can do this, because 99% of electricity produced in Norway is hydropower. And hydropower is renewable one, can look as zero emissions. So that's why here is much better if we look at the electricity. And as I know, in household, around 80% energy use is electricity in Norway. So Norway, I mean, if we see the emissions, it's much better than Sweden and Germany and the Netherlands, and I mean neighbors in European countries. But we still need. And then we have, of this, we can have, based on this, we have four definitions of CEBs. So the first CEB is, you say, site CEB. A site CEB is means these zero energy buildings produce at least as much as energy as it used in a year when accounted for at the site. So, for example, if you use 10,000 kilowatt hours this year, and then you also produce this year. This is site. But we still have a source. As we know, because electricity, when it's transferred from grid, they always have some loss. So the source CEB is means it can be produced more. That is not only for site, it also can be more, and then can be equal to less from the primary energy, if you know some energy account. And the third is we call the cost CEB. What is cost CEB? Cost CEB is because, you know, when we talk to people, yes, kilowatt hours, maybe people is not really, when you ask me how much kilowatt hours you use for your house, maybe you cannot find the answer directly. But if somebody asks you how many you pay for your electricity, if you based on money, it will be easier to remember and to pick answers. So another definition of the CEB is cost. That if I am the, you know, when my buildings, I live in the CEB, and my buildings can produce electricity. But as we know, because if we use solar, it's different from, because solar always produces energy in daytime, but mostly for residential house, I mean residential buildings, we are not home, we go work or go study. So we do not need this energy in the daytime, but it produces. So what we can do is sell it to the grid. So we can get money back. And in the night, I do not, because solar no sunlight, and then what we need get the electricity from the grid, then I need to pay for it. So the cost CEB is that the money you pay for your energy use, and the money you get from your energy produce is same. So we call it the cost CEB. This is third definition. And last definition is called emission CEB, because why we say emissions? As we know, in this century, for our generation, and especially for you and for future generation, one of the main challenges is global warming. For example, this year we did not see any snow until now. So global warming, it'll be a big challenge. And CO2 emissions is the main reasons of this global warming. So when people, and another thing is, emissions also relate to the air pollution. As you know, in Norway, air quality is nice, but as we know, air quality in Beijing is not good now. So I take flight, I think, 2 weeks ago, 24th, but I'm from Shanghai, it's much better. But in Beijing, I was told last night, many airplanes cannot land because too much PM2.5. It's unhealthy, and it cannot be before airplane to land, you can see that is, even that is maybe 5 meters, I cannot see you. So that's why it's a big challenge. So another definition is say emission CEBs. So it's a net zero emissions building produce at least as much as emission-free renewable energy as it yields from emission-produced energy sources. So it means, okay, you use the 10,000 kilowatt hour this year, and this will, for example, produce the 10,000 kilogram CO2s, but you should also to produce the energy, and this energy can be decreased, like CO2 emission also 10,000 kilogram. So this you call the emission CEBs. And now when we talk emission CEBs, it's mostly related to the CO2s, because CO2 is a main challenge of all over the world, not only for one country, it's for all of us. So this is for definitions. And then maybe you will ask, oh yeah, yeah, you know what is CEBs, but why we need CEBs? So the second question is about why we need CEBs. This I showed several times to my audience, and this is construction industry. I think all of you will be a member of this construction industry in the future. So it will be 7% of jobs, 10% of GDP, and 17% of fresh water. But for energy and CO2 emission will be 30 to 40%. So building itself, it uses 30 to 40%. I will show you what is the, and also relate to the CO2 emissions. So that's why people focus on energies. And of course you use a lot of raw materials. Far of the more materials used is to build buildings, because we need concrete, we need brick, we need steel, we need plastics, we need a lot of materials. And land harvest, because when it's built, this land is occupied, yes. So when we look at a lifetime, and from this picture, we know this is important for us, even we do not see it. And when we look at the building itself, we know at the beginning we need developing, we need plan, we need design, and this is office, most office work, yes, and some survey is on-site work, but not much. And then we have construction, yes, on-site. And after construction, we have long lifetime. So this is, buildings is really different from other product. Mobile phone, maybe you use 2, 3, 4, 5. I don't know how many years. I think for me, it's because my last mobile phone is broken. I bought it 2011. It's broken in this summer, so it's 3 years. It was broken. HTC, it's broken. I cannot use. And it can be repaired, but I pay too much. I will not. I will buy a new one. And but for buildings, I don't know when this building is built.
Four?
Okay, so it's yeah, so it's 20 years, but it will stand another 30 or 40 years, because now today in Europe most buildings is built in 1970s. I mean the main part is from 1970. Of course they have a chain of the building stock, but the main part is from 1970s. And it is said this building will be still stand there until 2050. So and when we do LCA, it's as fair to say life cycle assessment, we normally assume that buildings is 50 years old. But in Norway I know a lot of buildings more than 50 years old. Maybe the main structure will be more than 100 years. Of course inside it will change, but main structure will be more than 100 years. So for the buildings, and then we see when we use it, of course we need maintenance. We need to change door, window, and even insulations. So all this, we need energy. Yes, we need energy use, even it's for office, and use for construction, use for the maintenance, and energy use when occupied. And when we talk here, when we talk CEB, not today, we are mostly on here, energy use. If we have, in the future, I will talk about this part, but today we are concentrate on this energy use when it's occupied, when it is used. So as we know, we have two type of buildings. One is residential part. We live, well, we cooking, we go bathroom, and it's home. And another type is we call the official education. It's non-residential part. It's for example, these buildings is a, we can look at as a service sector. So in the IEA, when they use the energy balance account, they put a residential house energy use in the residential house go to residential part. And energy use for public or official buildings is non-residential part, they go to service. For example, museum, university, hospital, all this. It's not home, it's not residential part. So they go to service. And let's see these pictures. I mean, this is 1971. And this is 2011, because this is the I think now they will publish the new one. I think it's 2012, because yearly publish the energy balance of the world in different countries, and they have always 2 years data delay. And we see in these 40 years, energy final consumption is more than double. You see from 4,000 to nearly 9,000. And then we see the share of the contribution of different sector. Industry, transport, residential, and commerce and public service. And we put them together, we call the building sector. So we can find industry is 38, 40 years later, 37, not changing much. Transport, 23, and then 28. It's a 5% increase, but you know, the amount is not only 5%. It would be more. And when we look for the buildings, it's not changed much. It's 32 to 33. So that's why we say that it's 30 to 40% of energy use. But then you will ask why we have 40s, because as you still remember, I talk about life cycle of buildings, we still have energy use, the construction is on site, energy use for maintenance, energy use for, I mean, design and some blah blah like this. So let, and one another important thing is we need a lot of materials. And all these materials should be produced from industry, yes. But it's consumed, it's be embodied in the buildings. So this also go to the building, you call it embodied energy. This will be another topic, but also it's very important in the future if we can realize CEBs. And then, okay, you know, energy is always a topic, really important. And for Norway, I think also really important, because we export oil, and now because oil price is go down, and the Norwegian krone, the price of Norwegian krone also go down. So it's energy is always important, and not only for society, also for economics. So when the people, when we're looking for global warming, when we're looking for sustainable development, people is always looking, can we consume less, for example, energies? So for this 31 or 32%, can we decrease them to be zero? So this is why we want to CEBs. And then we go more detail about this energy used for the building sector. You can find buildings, let's say residential and service. And for service, only electricity and commercial fit and for sure. If really small or vulnerable, so you cannot see on the map on here. And for residential, yes, they have some part of renewable. And electricity and fossil fuel, because why? In OECD countries, what is OECD countries, including EU or Norway, also OECD countries, US, Canada, Australia, Japan, South Korea. So it's developed countries. And these countries, even it may use for fitting. For example, in Norway and in most part of Europe, it used for fitting. But in Australia and even part of US, they use for also for cooling. And they use a lot of fossil fuel. At least today, and today at lunchtime, and I talk with asking what a fitting system used in our university is said is fuel, so it's fossil fuel, and they will be changed in the next year maybe for biomass, so it will be more sustainable, and electricity, and while they have, you can see they still have a big part of renewable. But this renewable is not energy efficient, because this renewable is made from the developing country. They use some waste, for example, some biomass from especially in the rural area. And the question is, for these developing countries, they will on the way to the urbanization. When the people live in a rural place, move to the urbanization, they will no access to such kind of biomass, and they will prefer to use electricity. So it is estimated in the future, Asia will be the main part of the commercial electricity and fossil energy use until the coming 20 years. So will be double than what we use in Europe today. So it will be a main challenge for us. And then this is when we talk about why, what it is. And then people will say, because yesterday that energy professor, he said, now I know your idea, but the question, how you realize, it be possible? And I say, of course it be possible. So I will talk about actions and cases. So in Norway, from Norway, of course, because we are in Norway. The Norway, we have national target. Because we have two parts of buildings, the Norway and the new construction. So Norwegian government target is say for the renovation of existing buildings will be low energy standard by 2015, and public part is from this year, and partial house standard by 2020. And this is for renovate. And for new construction, partial house standard from 2015 and nearly zero energy standard by 2020. So this is 2020 and for public is from 2014. Yes. So 2020, it's not only Norway, it's also EU countries. EU in 2010, they make a decision. Yes. Member states should ensure that by December 31st or 2020, all new buildings are nearly zero energy buildings. Maybe you cannot be zero, but you should be nearly. So it's, and after 2018, new building occupied and owned by public should be zero energy buildings. So this is EU countries. And US, it say yes, it will be zero energy house by 2020, and to zero commercial buildings by 2025. And for California, they have their own target, but I don't think it can be realized, because it say by 2020, all buildings should be zero energy buildings. I don't think so, because you should have a lot of renovate. That is not possible. So I do not sure here. I just show some extreme case. And for Canada, it's say all new houses should be net zero by 2025. So you can see in these developed countries, most is say, oh, 2020 or 25, we would not all new buildings should be net zero buildings. And then we can see today how much net zero buildings in the world. Today is around, it's around more than 330. You can check the map, and I will talk about this one, this in Trondheim. But it's not done yet. The design. So maybe several, 2 or 3 years later, you can go to Trondheim, and this is the first CEB in Norway. This is the first CEB. And this is in that is called Vlatokalia. So it's on the seaside. So you can see. And how they realize it. They say, and this house is not only the CEBs, it will be called a power house. So the designer, they want that building, it produces more than it used. So they can sell this electricity to the grid. And all this part are PU panel, are PU metal. And inside they use a lot of wood, because wood. When we talk about wood and concrete, of course concrete, it's mostly used in the modern stage. But I know we have a lot of wood. In Sweden, wood is really expensive, so they use clay and brick and concrete. And as we know, wood is a recycling, can be renewable materials. So for CO2 emissions, when we look at CO2 emissions, wood is always better than concrete. Because if you still remember how we produce cement, because the production of the cement process always... Okay, I did not find the pen. Always produce CO2s, yes. Not only energy use, also in the process produce CO2s. So inside they use a lot of wood, and this in the roof they use PV panel to create energies. Because in the summer, but I don't know how about the future is will change, because sometime in the summer in Trondheim there will be wholesome will be a lot of sunlight, but sometime there will be a lot of raining. So this also depends on the climate. And this is Norway, and then we find another case from Germany. This is small one. It's a small. It's from Berlin. It's a house. It's a house we call residential house. But this is now is used as example. And how they build this? Okay, you can see here. Here is all the PV panel. So they can use this to produce electricity. And this electricity can be not only used for the building itself, and also can be charged of the cars, because they have cars, can be electric cars can be charged. And here, this is on the basement is energy room. They also have some battery here, because sometimes you need it not connected to the grid, because it's also a political situation, because sometimes. Some country, I think in your week, I don't think the grid will be by an electricity produced by the buildings, because this is also depend on the political situation. But if yes, you cannot sell to the grid, but you can use battery, and also you can charge the cars, and you can take money for this charging, and then you pay this money for buy energy from the grid. So this is one selections. And this is in Australia. This is official buildings. You see, these buildings look nice. It's really colorful. As we know, Australia need more cooling than heating, because it's not like in Norway. So they have this is not only colorful. They can turn with sunlight. So it depends on the sunlight. This will be changed. So that we used sunlight as much as possible, and they also have a PV panel on, you see, on the roof, and they have a wind turbine here. So they use wind power and solar power. So this is for Australia. And then we have from US. And US, this is a case, it's also sure the case. You can see that you can find if they build not high-rising buildings, they prefer to use more wood than concrete because it's more sustainable. And then they usually use a lot of PV panel. And because of design, this is use the PVs and roof, and because it, you know, because in the 1 year, and here also changed in the May sun like this. So this is we in use a lot of data daylight, but sometimes in a hot place you also need to think about cooling. That is means you need to think about when is sunlight go. And they also use geothermal roof and some up turbines. So it's not only solar power. You can also from underground. So that will be another options. And this is in China, in Guangzhou. It's called CEB, but there's still some challenge of this. It's that, yeah. They use a lot, you see, like this, they use two kind of power. One is PV panel, you see this is solar, and they designed like this. It's not Chinese, it's US architecture designed this. And then this is use panel PV. And why they make this? You see, this is high-rising buildings. It's around the, it's 309 meters. So they use this, and this they use as equipment storage. And as this is a face to that, the face of these buildings is face to the, because 1 year, every year we can measure the when is wind come from which direction and how much of it is. And this is face to the wind direction and with the maximum wind. And then you can see maybe it's not really clear here because wind come here, and then because they should pass these small holes, and they put some turbines inside to produce electricity. So this is one potential selections. We use the wind power to build it. And this is for high-rising buildings. As we know, because of high-rising building is especially important for Asia because of population density. And so, and but how high-rising is always very difficult. So even they say, yes, they are CB, but still be challenged. Somebody do not believe. But I do not measure it. I don't know. Because it also depends on how people inside use. Because that will be another question. Because when on the design, it's simulation. But simulation, just simulation. It's not the real things. And this is from Hong Kong. It's a CLO carbon buildings. This is, you see, they use a lot of PV panel here. It's not high-rising building. It's an exhibition office because this is for Hong Kong Green Building Council. Just like now we have Green Building Council. They build this as a case. Say we can deliver this to the society. And they use panel PV and also use biomass. I think we have, yes, I have many, some minutes. I want to show how to. We need a website. Okay. So you can see from these videos.
Hong Kong's first zero carbon building.
We don't see it
Meet Lee.
Okay.
He loves living in Hong Kong.
I don't know how to use.
He's concerned with global warming and wonders why it keeps getting hotter and why there is more heavy rain every year. Lee decides to ask Miss Gingerly, a professional in the construction industry.
This is not my computer, so I don't know how to use it.
Fossil fuels are burned to generate electricity.
So I close it.
Yeah, close it.
Released into the atmosphere, causing the greenhouse effect, which leads to the
Do anybody know how to use?
Produce about 60% of the city's carbon emissions.
Okay, I try to. No, I. Wait a minute. I try to. Oh, now it's coming here.
Hong Kong's first zero-carbon building. Meet Lee. He loves living in Hong Kong, but lately he is concerned with global warming and wonders why it keeps getting hotter and why there is more heavy rain every year. Lee decides to ask Miss Gingerly, a professional in the construction industry, for advice. She explains that when fossil fuels are burnt to generate electricity, carbon dioxide is released into the atmosphere, causing the greenhouse effect, which leads to these extreme weather changes. Miss Gingerly says that buildings use a lot of electricity and produce about 60% of the city's carbon emissions. Hence, ZCB, the first zero-carbon building in Hong Kong, was created. Together with the city's first urban native woodland, ZCB is totally dedicated to carbon reduction. Using a hierarchy of passive, active, and renewable energy systems, ZCB is not only powered by its own resources, but also exports surplus energy to the local grid. Lee is curious to find out more. Miss Gingerly tells him that ZCB saves energy through its passive design by striking a balance with nature. The building's orientation ensures natural ventilation and allows maximum daylight into the building whilst blocking out solar radiation. Also, its rooftop solar panels are carefully angled so that plenty of energy is collected from the sun. Furthermore, the urban native woodland promotes biodiversity. The greenery helps reduce heat in the surrounding areas, keeping the air fresh and cool. Miss Gingerly explains that active systems are in place to use energy more efficiently. For example, ZCB uses high-volume, low-speed fans. Their giant blades resemble airplane wings, improving airflow substantially and reducing the need for air conditioning. ZCB system also supplies conditioned air from the floor up. As the air passes through human bodies, it heats up and rises to the ceiling, where chilled beams cool the room from the top. Miss Gingerly points out that besides solar power, ZCB also uses biofuel produced in Hong Kong from waste cooking oil as a source of renewable energy to create electricity. This biofuel is passed through a tri-generation system to create electricity for ZCB, while the excess heat is utilized for cooling and removing humidity in the building. Lee gets it. Similar to a chef preparing Peking duck, every single bit is used. With over 80 innovative features, ZCB is a showcase of state-of-the-art green building practices in the construction industry, and has won various awards.